Welcome to day 186 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we will be reading from 2 Kings chapters 12 and 13 and 2 Chronicles chapter 24. This week we are reading from the New American Standard Bible, so beginning at 2 Kings chapter 12 and starting at verse 1. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Then Jehoash said to the priests, "All the money of the sacred things which is brought into the house of the Lord, in current money, both the money of each man's assessment and all the money which any man's heart prompts him to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it for themselves, each from his acquaintance, and they shall repair the damages of the house wherever any damage may be found." But it came about that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the damages of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and for the other priests and said to them, "Why do you not repair the damages of the house? Now therefore take no more money from your acquaintances, but pay it for the damages of the house." So the priests agreed that they would take no more money from the people, nor repair the damages of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in its lid and put it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priests who guarded the threshold put in it all the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. When they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came up and tied it in bags and counted the money which was found in the house of the Lord. They gave the money, which was weighed out, into the hands of those who did the work, who had oversight of the house of the Lord, and they paid it out to the carpenters and the builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to the masons and the stone cutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damages to the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. But there were not made for the house of the Lord silver cups, snuffers, bowls, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver from the money which was brought into the house of the Lord, for they gave that to those who did the work, and with it they repaired the house of the Lord. Moreover, they did not require an accounting from the men into whose hands they gave the money to pay to those who did the work, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the guilt offerings and the money from the sin offerings was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was for the priests. Then Hazael, king of Aram, went up and fought against Gath and captured it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the sacred things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own sacred things, and all the gold that was found among the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent them to Hazael, king of Aram. Then he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? His servants arose and made a conspiracy and struck down Joash at the house of Millo as he was going down to Silla. For Jozachar the son of Shimeath and Jehozabad the son of Shomer, his servants, struck him and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Amaziah his son became king in his place. Chapter 13. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel at Samaria, and he reigned 17 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with which he made Israel sin. He did not turn from them. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them continually into the hand of Hazael, king of Aram, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael. Then Jehoahaz entreated the favor of the Lord, and the Lord listened to him. For he saw the oppression of Israel, how the king of Aram oppressed them. The Lord gave Israel a deliverer, so that they escaped from under the hand of the Arameans, and the sons of Israel lived in their tents as formerly. Nevertheless, they did not turn away from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, with which he made Israel sin, but walked in them, and the Asherah also remained standing in Samaria. For he left to Jehoahaz of the army not more than 50 horsemen and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen. For the king of Aram had destroyed them and made them like the dust at threshing. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did in his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Joash his son became king in his place. In the 37th year of Joash king of Judah, Jehoash the son of Jehoahaz became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 16 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not turn away from all the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which he had made Israel sin, but he walked in them. Now the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did and his might with which he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat on his throne. And Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. When Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, Joash the king of Israel came down to him and wept over him and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. Elisha said to him, take a bow and arrows. So he took a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hand on it. Then Elisha laid his hands on the king's hands. He said, open the window toward the east. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram. For you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And he struck it three times and stopped. So the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Aram until you have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. Elisha died, and they buried him. Now the bands of the Moabites would invade the land in the spring of the year. As they were burying a man, behold, they saw a marauding band, and they cast the man into the grave of Elisha. And when the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Now Hazael, king of Aram, had oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them, and had compassion on them, and turned to them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them or cast them from his presence until now. When Hazael, king of Aram, died, Ben-Hadad, his son, became king in his place. Then Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again from the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken in war from the hand of Jehoahaz, his father. Three times Joash defeated him and recovered the cities of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zibiah from Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada took 2 wives for him, and he became the father of sons and daughters. Now it came about after this that Joash decided to restore the house of the Lord. He gathered the priests and Levites and said to them, "Go out to the cities of Judah and collect money from all Israel to repair the house of your God annually, and you shall do the matter quickly." But the Levites did not act quickly. So the king summoned Jehoiada the chief priest and said to him, "Why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the levy fixed by Moses, the servant of the Lord, on the congregation of Israel for the tent of the testimony? For the sons of the wicked Athaliah had broken into the house of God and even used the holy things of the house of the Lord for the Baals." So the king commanded, and they made a chest and set it outside by the gate of the house of the Lord. They made a proclamation in Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the levy fixed by Moses, the servant of God, on Israel in the wilderness. All the officers and all the people rejoiced and brought in their levies and dropped them into the chest until they had finished. It came about whenever the chest was brought in to the king's officer by the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, then the king's scribe and the chief priest's officer would come, empty the chest, take it, and return it to its place. Thus they did daily and collected much money. The king and Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and they hired masons and carpenters to restore the house of the Lord, and also workers in iron and bronze to repair the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored, and the repair work progressed in their hands, and they restored the house of God according to its specifications and strengthened it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, and it was made into utensils for the house of the Lord, utensils for the service and the burnt offering, and pans and utensils of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. Now when Jehoiada reached a ripe old age, he died. He was 130 years old at his death. They buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done well in Israel and to God and his house. But after the death of Jehoiada, the officials of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. They abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. So wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their guilt. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord. Though they testified against them, they would not listen. Then the Spirit of God came on Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus God has said, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord and do not prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you." So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which his father Jehoiada had shown him, but he murdered his son. And as he died, he said, "May the Lord see and avenge." Now it happened at the turn of the year that the army of the Arameans came up against him, and they came to Judah and Jerusalem, destroyed all the officials of the people from among the people, and sent all their spoil to the king of Damascus. Indeed, the army of the Arameans came with a small number of men. Yet the Lord delivered a very great army into their hands because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. Thus they executed judgment on Joash. When they had departed from him, for they left him very sick, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest and murdered him on his bed. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David, but they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. Now these are those who conspired against him: Zabad, the son of Shimeath the Ammonitess, and Jehozabad, the son of Shimrith the Moabitess. As to his sons, and the many oracles against him, and the rebuilding of the house of God, behold, they are written in the treaties of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah, his son, became king in his place. This is the end of today's scripture reading.
Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional.
In today's devotional, I want to focus your attention on the story that comes from the very end of Elisha the prophet's life. And it's the place where he's sick with the illness of which he was to die, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down to visit him, and he was weeping over him. And he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And you can see by this intense sentiment that he's expressing to the prophet Elisha that he had a measure of respect for him and some trust and faith in what the Lord had done through Elisha over the years, who was used by the Lord to lead Israel in many of the victories that it had because of the counsel that came through the prophet to the king. So here the king of Israel, realizing he's about to lose this great man of God from Israel, he's weeping over him. And so as one of his last prophetic acts that he does is that Elisha tells the king to take a bow and arrows. And so the king takes the bow and arrows, and then he gives them these instructions: put your hand on the bow, and then open the window toward the east, and shoot the arrow out the window. Now, in the times of these kings, and the time of Elisha the prophet, it was sometimes a symbolic gesture that a king would perform when they are about to go in and invade a nation. They would shoot an arrow into the enemy territory, essentially making a declaration of war that they are coming in. And so the prophet has the king of Israel do this symbolic act: open that window toward the east. And it was toward the east of Israel that the Arameans had invaded and captured some of their territory. So in opening that window toward the east and shooting that arrow, he was making that proclamation that they were going to have victory. And Elisha told him, the Lord's arrow of victory, even the arrow of victory over Aram, for you will defeat the Arameans at Aphek until you have destroyed them. So here, Elisha, on his deathbed, is giving these encouraging words to the king of Israel that God is going to give them a victory over these Arameans who have continuously harassed them and taken land from them. And so he spoke a word: you're going to get victory over them until you've destroyed them. But then he gave him a second instruction, and it was important that the king obey this instruction, and it was going to have an effect on the future, depending on how he received and obeyed the word of the Lord through the prophet Elisha. And here's what he said. He told him, take the arrows. And so the king obeyed. He took the arrows. And then he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. And so you can imagine the king probably just trying to humor the old prophet who's on his deathbed. And he just kind of strikes the ground three times and stops. You can see from this situation that he may have felt silly, may have thought he looked ridiculous. He just was going through the motions of what the prophet said to do without a lot of enthusiasm or taking it very seriously, that when that prophet speaks, what he says has power. And so when he struck the ground three times with the arrows and stopped, the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Aram until you have destroyed it. But now you shall strike Aram only three times. And sure enough, just as the word of the Lord through that prophet was spoken, that's exactly what came to pass. And it says three times King Joash defeated the king of Aram and recovered the cities of Israel, but they never got the complete victory that God fully intended for them to have, and that was the intention of Elisha the prophet in having the king strike the ground. Now, I want to take that word, strike the ground, and speak that to you with regard to your own life and your own walk with God and your own faith in the word and the promises of the Lord for your own life. God has made us so many promises in the word of God. In fact, in 2 Peter 1:4, they are called precious promises. That verse reads this way, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now I want you to think about that. God has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through those promises you could participate in the divine nature, in the very ways of God, the very things of God, the very intention of God for your life. But you obtain that through the great and precious promises. So here we have a picture of Elisha the prophet speaking the word of God, and essentially the word of God's promise to the king of Israel that he will defeat the Arameans, but he wants him to take those arrows, which are the arrow of victory. That's exactly what he told the king. It's the arrow of the Lord's victory. So he tells him, take those arrows and strike the ground. Well, if you knew that you had in your hand the arrows of the Lord's victory, how many times would you strike the ground? Would you just humor the man and tap it a few times? Or would you beat that ground because it's the arrow of the Lord's victory? Well, obviously, the king for some reason didn't take it with such seriousness. And because of that, he lost the fullness of what that promise would have and actually did contain, because he didn't embrace it fully. It's the same for our lives. God has given us great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature of God. We can take hold of whatever God has given to us that's in his nature, given to us or won for us by Jesus Christ on the cross, which means every good and perfect gift, everything we need for life and godliness, every provision that you and your family needs. They are available to you and to me by faith in the great and precious promises that the Lord has given us in his word. But we have to take them seriously. We have to strike the ground with them until we see the victory that those promises give to us come to pass. The king didn't take it with fullness of seriousness when the prophet spoke those words. And the Lord watched to see just how serious he would take the word of the Lord through the prophet. And God watches our lives as well to see how serious we will take the very great and precious promises he has made in his word. How will we take them? Will we strike the ground until we see the victory of the Lord come to pass in our lives? Or will we tap it a few times? If we don't see any results, we stop, give up, and say, well, that didn't work. You will be the equivalent of this king if you do only that. Whatever your situation is right now, whatever your great need is in your life, I want to encourage you, strike the ground. Take it as the arrow of the Lord's victory, the promise of God for your own life. And God wants to see how serious you are, how diligent you are, how much you will pursue the things of God to take hold of those great and precious promises so that through them, you may participate in that divine nature of God, able to take hold of all that you need for life through Him and through the promises that He has made. Strike the ground. I have known many people over the years in ministry who have held fast to the promise of God, whether it was for restoration of their marriage or for healing for their body or for finances to be provided, and through their striking the ground, never giving up, believing the word of the Lord, being diligent to apply those great and precious promises, they have seen the victory of the Lord's arrow come to pass for them. And God wants that for you. Take hold of it today. Take the promise that the word gives to you. Apply it to your situation and strike the ground until you see the victory of the Lord come to pass in your life. God bless you and give you a victorious week.
If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.